Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a chapter with regards to Isalu Sawab and Sawab Jariya. Sawab Jariya means that Sawab that continues accruing to a person's account even after he has passed away. So there are certain things that this person had done in his life, because of the barakat of those things that he had done in his life, the reward of it continues even after this person has passed away. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said when a person passes away his actions come to a stop except from three things. He continues, in other words, he continues reaping the rewards even after his death. One is a continuous charity. For example, this person, he made a bequest. He may have made a bequest, as I mentioned, for a masjid, for a madrasa, for a borehole, or some project where the public can benefit, or people can benefit. So because of the people benefiting from this project that he had done, now there is some benefit, so he is getting the reward of it even after he has passed away. Knowledge from which benefit is derived, example, by writing a book, teaching, delivering lectures. A person may have taught, sometimes we think that if a person has been alim, he doesn't have to be an alim. Even if he taught little children also at home, the grandchildren, the nephews, the nieces, somebody at home, he taught them, said, let me teach you Surah Fatiha. He knew Surah Fatiha. Or let me teach you Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallah. Or let me teach you one sunnah. Let me teach you what I heard in the masjid, in the Jummah talk. Something a person teaches, now the child now practices on it, those children practice on it. So this person now, even after he has passed away, is getting the benefit of this in his qabr. A simple thing, by teaching somebody something, by giving a lecture, writing a small book, advising somebody in a simple way, sometimes it's the staff, sometimes it's the friends. It doesn't have to be something very, very technical also. Just a basic life experience to give some advice that can help a person in his deen, can help him in his dunya. So this person now is benefiting from those advices that you had given. So you are also benefiting in the qabr. And the next is a righteous child who prays for him. A pious child, that or righteous child, that now makes dua for the parents. Even after the person has passed away, this person is getting the reward of the child that is making dua for him. Yeah, again, it was because of the tarbiyah that this person had instilled in the child. He had made some effort on the child. So he's still reaping the reward of his efforts from the child that he has left behind. عن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أربعة تجري عليهم أجورهم بعد الموت مرابط في سبيل الله ومن علم علما ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأجرها له ما جرت ورجل ترك ولدا صالحا يدعو له. هذا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه رأيت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. There are four people who continue receiving their rewards even after their death. Number one, a person who guards the border during jihad is such a great act. Because this person was involved in guarding that group, that jamaat that was involved in guarding the borders, because they were involved in guarding the borders, they put their life at risk, at stake. But the rest of the people within the borders, they could practice their salah, they could practice their other actions and injunctions of deen, they could easily now fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could carry out their lives in a normal manner, they could sleep, they could wake up for tahajjud, they could do all their actions nicely. These people were guarding at the front. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this so much, that this person that who was guarding, he was a murabit, that even after he passes away, now he is getting the reward. So a person who guards the border during jihad, a person who teaches knowledge of deen, number three, a person who gives charity, he will continue receiving its reward for as long as it exists. Number four, a person who leaves behind a righteous child who prays for him. Again, here we see the reward of leaving a pious child. عن جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه مرفوعا من سن سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها من بعده من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيء. هذا جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه narrates a statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who initiates a good action shall receive the reward for it and the reward of whoever practices it after him without anything being decreased from their rewards. Here, the person, he started some action, not something out of deen, but something in deen. It was not being practiced. a person started, for example, one small maktab, one small madrasa, or a person initiated, he never started, but he guided people and he encouraged it. So he was a means of initiating, encouraging people in a certain direction. Now people continue in that direction after him. Now they all continued with their practice after this person had passed away. What happens is this person shall receive the full reward for it, and whoever practices on what he had started and initiated after him without anything being decreased from their rewards. Here again we must be careful that it must be something that is part of deen, not initiate something that is out of deen. We'll do one more hadith. And Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu marfu'an, من علم آية من كتاب الله عز وجل وبابا من علم أنما الله أجره إلى يوم القيامة. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates a statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person teaches a single verse of the Kitab of Allah or any chapter of deen, one verse he taught somebody of Quran, maybe just one word, one verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, first ayat he taught somebody, or this person he taught any chapter of deeni knowledge, even if it's a single rule or regulation. Yeah, chapter doesn't mean a whole chapter. He taught person one thing. When you're making wuzu, then what, how you should start your wuzu, you explain to one child. You just take him and you show him how you at least start your wuzu. You teach him one or two masail of deen. Even if it's one masla also, you teach him how to do it. Then even if it's a single rule or regulation, Allah Ta'ala continues increasing its reward until the day of resurrection. So much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this, that you had taught somebody something, or a person taught some rule of deen, some knowledge of deen, or he taught one ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to increase its reward until the day of resurrection. Yes, how fortunate is that person who makes correct deeni tarbiyat of his children. Today we find that generally, from the time a child is about 4 years old till he is about 20 years old, about 16 years, sometimes 18 years, sometimes 20 years, the parents are making effort to give the children the deeni, the dunyawi knowledge, knowledge of the dunya, how to qualify and how to become professionals and what have you. We've got to ask ourselves how much effort we're making to give the child deeni knowledge. That is what is going to help. Recently there was a person at the Qabrustan. He showed me and pointed out to me the qabr of his father. This person was a top professional. He's very, very highly qualified, a partner of one of the big corporate firms. But when he's standing there, he says he doesn't know what to read. He doesn't know what to read. So please make dua for my father. He's buried. He pointed out to the qabr of the father. The thought came to my mind that how much of effort this father made for this person to reach this top level at the corporate firm. And now he's in such a high position he's got. In other matters, he can give such good advice. But when it comes to just reading for the father, he doesn't know what to read at the qabr of the father. So this shows us that when we're making effort on the child, make effort on things that will benefit him also and will benefit us. Let us not be short-sighted and just see till the qabr what is going to help this child. After that, for the longer journey and for the bigger journey, and when he needs it most and he requires it most, what have we done for the journey of that child? Mawlana Tanveer Rahmatullah Ali explains one incident. There was once a father, at that time in the time of the English, people would send their children to America, sometimes send them to Europe so that they can get knowledge, because they would regard English as a very, very high standard, and if a person had come with a Western qualification or qualification from America or Europe, it would be regarded as very high. So this person wasn't a very wealthy person, but he saved up and he saved up, and nearly all his income that he got, he was paying for the fees of his child, for the expenses of his child that was studying in America. And now after this child had qualified and he had come back to India, he had contracted one sickness, one illness, a terminal illness. So this father had seen the condition of his child now after so many years, so much of hope he had. People from the village that time had so much hope this person will come back and now he'll earn and he'll be very rich and we can retire and we'll have a good life and we'll have a good house and all our suffering and poverty that we had in the village for so many years. All these thoughts were going through his mind and he was investing that money for the child, paying for his fees, he sacrificed whatever he could. And when the child came back and contracted this illness and sickness, he's sitting at the bedside of this child, seeing his condition. So the father was very, very distraught. He was crying. And the child asked him, but why are you crying? So he says that, you know, we have so much of hopes on you. So much of hopes and so much of money we spend with the hope that one day you'll come back and we'll have a better life. Things will improve for us. But now you're on the verge of passing away. It's as though all our investment has gone to waste. So then the child also cries and he tells the father, he said, let me tell you something. I can only see darkness beyond this. Beyond where I am now, I can only see darkness, I can only feel darkness. All the effort you had made was just for my dunya. What I could achieve as far as the dunya is concerned. No effort was made as far as my akhirat is concerned. Beyond this, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what is there for me. So in other words, the child was explaining to the father, whatever effort and time you made was just a short-term one. So therefore, when we are doing the talim of our children, teaching our children, let us have long-term plans. And the long-term means for the khabar, for the akhirat, for hashar, what is going to happen to them there? Let that be priority rather than the dunyawi knowledge being the priority. Because dunyawi knowledge, it's there, it will help a person to a certain extent. But at the time when he needs it the most, when he's going into khabar and he's going into akhirat, it won't help him there. So let the primary focus, not that the person shouldn't give any dunyawi knowledge to the children, but let the primary focus be the deeni knowledge, something that will help him and will also help us when we are in our qabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.